Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
White, couple of jab steps, comes up shooting, top three, bam! Put him in the Hall of Fame!
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
What more y'all want me to prove, man?
LaVine with a runway, lays it in! Zach LaVine!
Find that man every time down the floor.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
It's Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 score scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Joining me now, Matt Peck, Locked On Bulls podcast, producing podcasts left and right, even in the offseason.
On Twitter, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck.
I don't have Twitter. I don't do anything like that. And
I love what you guys do with the show. I listen to every episode. You guys are one of the best podcasts, period.
Y'all keep doing what you do best. I love you guys.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
It's raw.
You can just see the vibe.
Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
Okay, cool. I was hoping it wasn't one of those knucklehead programs.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls underscore Peck. You can also check me out with my guys Big Dave and John on Hot Mic. That's the free app. Download it now in your app store to see us with our new show, The Stretch 4, with the Bulls Outcasts for every Bulls game, starting with the fourth quarter and then into a half-hour post-game show. You can follow my co-host here on Locked On Bulls, Jordan Malley, at Jordan C. Malley on Twitter, and you can follow us at Locked On Bulls. You can also shoot us an email, lockedonbulls@gmail.com. And of course, that text to voicemail line is always there for you, our fellow Bulls fans, 331-979-1369. Again, 331-979-1369. Today's episode of Locked On Bulls is brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful diamond ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. This exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com. Well, ladies and gentlemen, so much for a new season starting off on a positive note. As I am sitting here recording this on the late morning of Christmas Eve, December 24th, the morning after the aftermath, that was a pretty ugly performance from the new look Bulls, who kind of looked like the same old Bulls, as they got blown out by Trae Young and the Atlanta Hawks on Tuesday night. 124-104 was the final, but my goodness, we all know it was not that close. Let's start by getting some of the ugly things out of the way, and then we can wrap up the episode talking about a couple of the positive spots that I saw in this overall pretty grotesque game. Team defense. Obviously, that is the big one to take away from this blowout loss. The perimeter defense was bad. The help defense was bad. The transition defense after the Bulls were coughing the ball up left and right at the start of this game was bad. The Hawks got everything they wanted, and they were knocking down all of their looks from all over the floor. I think for a while, towards the end of the first quarter, they were flirting with 80% from the field. I mean, just an absolutely ridiculous shooting night for Atlanta, who got wherever they wanted on the floor. Their bigs were getting good, easy looks at the basket. They were getting lobs. They were getting backdoor cuts for layups. And Trae Young and all of the other shooters were knocking down their shots. I mean, it was just flat-out bad defense. Donovan talked about it after the game. Wendell Carter Jr. took responsibility for his defensive effort. And you know, we could talk about Wendell's overall performance last night as another bad spot. You know, Bulls fans were worried about Wendell in those preseason games, and he did nothing to ease those concerns with his first game of the official 2021 season. Wendell, 26 minutes, 2 of 5 from the field, 0 of 2 for his new look three-point shot. Just 6 rebounds. He did have 2 assists. He finished with 6 points. 3 turnovers, by the way. And 3 fouls. I mean, just not a whole lot there. And that's what you expect Wendell to bring at the least, is the competent defense, the above average help defense. But not on this night. The Bulls just did not bring it effort-wise and just competency. And maybe it could be that the Bulls are still trying to get used to this new system. We knew that their perimeter defense was going to take a hit without Chris Dunn. And, you know, we don't need to talk about, oh, well, you know, who did a pretty good job checking Trae Young last season was Chris Dunn, who's now with Atlanta. I don't care. Chris Dunn was inactive because he's, once again, not healthy. Surprise, surprise. But we knew perimeter defense was going to be an issue. And on this night, boy, like Trae Young is a star. You got to give him some credit. But Zach LaVine trying to guard Trae Young, not fun. The Bulls, however, did not take advantage of Trae Young's defensive incapabilities on the other end. Because they were too busy just getting out to a lethargic start on the offensive end and turning the ball over. So that, you know, even though Zach LaVine was getting to the basket last night, he wasn't knocking down any of his shots and nobody else was really generating anything. Which, speaking of, let's move to the next really sour spot from last night's performance. Coby White, in his first start in his second season in the NBA, officially named this team starting point guard or starting guard, if you don't want to call him a point guard, because guess what? He did not look like a point guard last night. Coby White, in 30 minutes, finished 2 of 11, 1 of 7 from downtown, 4 of 4 at the charity stripe. 2 rebounds, did have 7 assists and a steal, 3 turnovers, 2 fouls, just 9 points. So, like, you look at the assist column and you're like, okay, well, yeah, I mean, Coby had an assist. He had 7 assists last night. That's not bad. Sure, but that doesn't tell the whole story. Coby looked awkward. He looked hesitant. He looked uncomfortable in his own shoes. That's not the same Coby that we were cautiously optimistic about when we started to see him make some decent reads and execute certain, you know, pick and roll situations and transition offense situations competently in his preseason action. He looks lost against an Atlanta defense, which, let's be honest, is not all that intimidating. I mean, I kind of hoped that Coby could do a better job against that Atlanta backcourt and that Atlanta defense. Nope, not the case. Maybe it was just an overwhelming night. As I was saying a minute ago, as far as this team's defense, you know, getting cooked by Trae Young and the Atlanta front court, it could be that they are caught in limbo of getting used to this new drop coverage system. And their brain's constantly telling them, oh, Jim's going to get mad if I don't blitz this screen. Jim's going to get mad if I don't blitz this pick and roll. It's like, maybe it's going to take some time to unwind that nonsense from their brains. And it won't be an easy automatic fix. And coupled with the fact that, yes, there is less defensive talent on this team now, it's going to be a rough season. The Bulls are going to have to outscore their opponents and their offense is going to have to be a lot better than what we saw last night if the defense is going to be this bad. And I don't think the defense is going to be that bad all season long. I don't think we're going to be watching the Bulls all season long give up 83 points in the first half. And yes, that is the number that the Hawks reached at halftime, 83. You know, they called off the dogs in the second half, and that's why it was only 124. 28 in the third quarter, 13 in the fourth quarter for Atlanta. Again, it was a lot uglier than the final score indicated. The defense was bad. Coby White looked like a guy who didn't know what he was doing. Zach did, you know, get some good early looks at the basket. His three-point shot wasn't falling. And, oh, by the way, when I mentioned him trying to guard Trae Young, yeah, he had 4 first-half fouls. So Zach Snyder, although it started decently despite not hitting from anything downtown, his night was ruined by foul trouble. It was just a bad, bad, bad everywhere you look. Except for a couple of bright spots, and we will talk about that after the break. Wanted to tell our Locked On Bulls listeners about one of our new sponsors here at the Locked On Podcast Network. And this one is a big one for all of you out there who enjoy your sports betting. Are you ready for some football? We've got college football heading into bowl season, some big matchups in the NFL this weekend as the playoff picture is becoming clear, and there's only one place that has you covered and one place that we trust, and that is betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for 50% off. For a 50% off welcome bonus. Some fun games on deck in the NFL this upcoming weekend with some juggernaut playoff-bound teams. You got Colts, Steelers. Indy's currently -1.5 on that spread. You got a NFC showdown with the Rams and the Seahawks battling it out between those two NFC West teams. Rams at 9-5, Seahawks 10-4. Seattle a -1 line on that game right now. And then Titans, Packers, NFC Beast versus AFC Beast. Derrick Henry and Aaron Jones, two of the best rushing backs in the NFL this season. Green Bay, a -3.5 on that line as we speak. Plenty of fun, exciting NFL games to bet on this holiday weekend. So again, don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. And hey, speaking of some holiday season betting, the holidays are all about giving. So I'm giving you a hot tip that could earn you some extra cash. The new Locked On Bets podcast is hosted by Lee Sterling of ParamountSports.com. Lee is red hot to start the season, and he shares a lock of the day on every single episode. Subscribe to Locked On Bets today, wherever you get your podcasts. Okay. We've gone through most of the icky parts of that Bulls game from the Tuesday night season debut. It did not go well, boy, in a lot of different ways, but mostly just a complete lack of defensive capability and defensive effort, which you cannot afford, especially if you're going to turn the ball over a lot in the first half and look at that hole that the Bulls dug themselves. To the tune of a 40-point deficit at one point before Atlanta finally sent in the scrubs and said, okay, mercy rule. Let's ease up off the gas here for a second. But I did tell you guys that I wanted to talk about a couple of bright spots. So let us do that because we have to find something positive to talk about after a game that ugly. The first one to me is a guy that I have spent a lot of time this offseason talking about. A guy who at the December 21st extension deadline did not have a deal between his representation and the Chicago Bulls on an extension from his rookie contract. And that is one Lauri Markkanen. Coming off of a hugely disappointing third season where he could never bust out of a shooting slump that plagued most of his season. He had another injury-riddled season. And in Jim Boylan's offense, he looked disengaged, disinterested, lost, shoved in a corner, however you want to call it. He also looked like a guy who, despite being a seven-footer, was shying away from contact and not taking advantage of any potential mismatches on the court. There were a lot of concerning signs from the season we saw from Lauri in 2019-20. And when I say we, I mean those of us who were still on Lauri Island, the We Believe in Lauri Island. We're very concerned coming into this season saying this is it. It's prove it time. And despite all of those comments that we heard from Lauri, from AK, from the Bulls saying, yeah, we're working on an extension. We'd like to get an extension done. Billy Donovan saying, we believe in Lauri. I really like Lauri. I want to help Lauri and I want him to be here long term. Lauri Markkanen saying that he and his family love being in Chicago. He wants to be here long term. They wanted to get a deal done. But surprise, surprise, when the clock struck midnight, so to speak, on the 21st, they were still, according to several sources, still significantly far apart in those negotiations. The Bulls may be hinting at something closer to $10 million annually, and Lauri and his representatives wanting something closer to, oh, I'd say probably $20 million annually. And it's fair to say, by every single account, that the player we saw Lauri be last season is not a player worth $20 million, even in the NBA, when some role players get close to $20 million annually. He was not a competent role player last season. Not even. So there you go. For those of you who listen to this podcast and always, you know, rag on me for being a Lowry defender or a Lowry or apologist or whatever you want to call it, I have never refused to call him out when he has shown us that he plays like crap. And the entirety of last season, he played like crap for whatever multitude of reasons and did not look like a player worth anything close to $20 million. He didn't even look like a player worth $12 or $15 million. So that's why I was not surprised at all to see that extension deadline come and go with no extension. And so now Lowry is absolutely on a prove it year. He'll be a restricted free agent next offseason. And perhaps depending on what happens this season, hey, maybe the Bulls decide to make a big move and they trade him at the deadline. Maybe they decide to keep him and treat him the way they treated Zach LaVine a couple of years ago. Although, of course, that was the former front office who said to Zach, hey, go get yourself a deal as a restricted free agent and we will absolutely match it, which they did. But to set the, you know, set the market for their player that they still have the restricted free agent rights to. So with Lowry, I would be ecstatic if it ends up being a situation where he has a breakout year. You know, in the conversation for most improved player across the NBA this season. A season maybe that could somehow remind us of the Jimmy Butler turning down the extension the Bulls gave him, betting on himself, and actually winning the NBA's most improved player award, turning himself into a quasi-star and inking himself a max deal. I'm not predicting that that's what's going to happen with Lowry this season, but I'm saying I still believe in Lowry enough to see that as a possibility. It's all about him playing with the right amount of confidence and obviously staying healthy, knock on wood, and thriving in a system that should give him that opportunity in ways in which maybe it did not last season. But that's it. Jim Boylan's gone. His offense that's shoved Lowry in a corner is gone. If you were one of the Lowry defenders, Lowry apologists, using that excuse last season, at least in partial explanation of the bad season he had, like I was, no more. That excuse is gone. It is time for Lowry to put up or shut up. And it means the world to me because I have been a believer in that kid since the first month of his rookie year. I fell in love with Lowry right away. And I saw all that potential. And there were some positive signs in their preseason action. And there were certainly some of those same very familiar concerning signs. Especially like the fact that he struggled to knock down a three in large portions of the four preseason games. However, the beginning of this rant was about what? Something positive that we saw in the Bulls blowout loss to the Hawks? I loved the game we saw from Lowry Markkanen. I really did. It wasn't anything outrageous. It's not like he had, you know, a 30-point game. But you know what he did have was an efficient night. In 30 minutes, he had 21 points on 6 of 9 from the field and 4 of 6 from downtown. Very efficient. Would have liked to see him, you know, hit the double digits as far as total field goal attempts. But still, 6 of 9 and 4 of 6 from downtown, I will take that. I will also take 5 of 5 at the free throw line from Lowry. 5 free throw attempts doesn't seem like all that much. But how many nights last season did we see Lowry with a blank? 0 for 0 at the free throw line. And you're saying, how is that possible for a 7-footer? So I would love to see Lowry's free throw attempts take a significant leap this season. And that is another way that he can get his scoring average up this season. But 5 is a good starting point. I never want to see Lowry have fewer than 5 free throw attempts this season. That should be the floor. So at least he hit that floor last night and got to the free throw line 5 times. And he contributed in other ways, like we saw him do in the preseason games when his shot was not falling. 7 boards. You want to see Lowry flirt with, you know, those double-double numbers. So overall, the Bulls were not a good rebounding team in this opener, which is concerning. They certainly look like a pretty strong defensive team, defensive rebounding team, or at least a better one than the one we saw last season in their preseason games. But still, 7 rebounds from Lowry, better than nothing. How often last season did we see Lowry have a night where, again, as a 7-footer, when you're talking free throw attempts or rebounds, Lowry would have nothing or 1 or 2 rebounds. 7 boards, that's at least in the right direction. It's acceptable on a night when the team overall did not rebound all that well. 4 assists. There you go. That's a number I like to see from Lowry. You saw on a handful of different occasions last night, the Bulls bigs getting involved in some 2-man game, whether it was Lowry and Wendell, Lowry and Gafford, Patrick Williams getting in there as well a little bit. It is, I think, so hugely important. And we'll take some pressure off of Zach and Kobe as a backcourt duo if the Bulls' backcourt can show a little bit more competence and get a little bit of 2-man game going. And Lowry's got to add that element to his offensive arsenal. We saw perhaps the preliminary stages of that last night. So, 21 points on 6 of 9, 7 boards, 4 assists, and a steal to add in there for Lowry last night. I'll take it. It's not world beating, but it's sure as hell a lot better than most of what we saw last season. If Lowry can flirt with giving us 21 and 10, that's the player that I wanted. That's the player that I thought I saw somewhere in there as a rookie and a second year player. 20 and 10. That should be the goal. He has the talent to do that. It's about executing, and it's about demanding that from himself and demanding the opportunity to do that from his teammates. And this is the year. No extension. Like I said, put up or shut up. But I'm glad that at least in a gross, gross, gross game, Lowry put up. Lowry showed out. And again, it's all relative. I'm saying compared to the trash we saw from Lowry last year, that was an encouraging game. That's it. I'm not making any excuses for him, and I'm not calling it a over-the-moon performance. But you got to find some positives, and certainly for me, that was one. We'll talk about one more positive takeaway from this game. Before that, I want to tell our listeners about Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever, and the improved Built Bar is even deliciouser than before. 6 new flavors include cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp, plus some of the 12 OG flavors like German chocolate, peanut butter, banana bread, mint brownie, and salted caramel. These Built Bars are covered in 100% pure chocolate. They're soft, and they're easy to chew. Best of all, Built Bars are great for the health-conscious sports fans out there. You can lose weight, maintain weight while indulging in these delicious treats. And we all know that during the holidays, everybody packs on a couple of extra pounds with all that great home cooking. Well, if you're trying to maybe shed some of those, replace one of your meals post-holidays with a Built Bar. These Built Bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber. Great for those of you on the keto diet out there. Take, for example, the peanut butter Built Bar, which has 19 full grams of protein and only 180 calories. Just 180. Only 5 grams of sugar and 5 net carbs. Right now, BuiltBar.com. With a promo code of Locked On, we'll give you, our Locked On Bulls audience, 20% off your next order. Again, that's BuiltBar.com with promo code Locked On to get 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Okay, guys, it's time to talk about Patrick Williams. Pat Will, P-Dub, whatever you want to call him. This kid is gonna be a star. This kid is already good. And I mean NBA good. We saw it in the preseason, and you don't want to get too hyped about the preseason, just like you don't want to get too down about the preseason. In general, don't overreact. I was doing my best to not overreact to how good Patrick Williams looked in preseason. And in his NBA debut, which, by the way, kudos to him for making that Donovan's starting lineup. Not just an experiment in preseason, Billy Donovan kept Patrick Williams in there using the veteran Otto Porter Jr. as a spark plug off the bench. And in 33 minutes, which led all Bulls starters and all Bulls players, the 19-year-old rookie finished with 16 points on 5 of 11, knocked down one of his three-point attempts, 5 of 6 from the free throw line, 4 boards, an assist, a steal, a block, 0 turnovers, and stayed out of foul trouble with only 2 personal fouls. You want to know my favorite part of that stat line? On the night when the Bulls were just being so friggin' careless and sloppy with the ball, Zach LaVine had 5 turnovers last night. Patrick Williams, the 19-year-old rookie, 0. 0 turnovers to go with his 16-4-1-1-1. This kid is so good, you guys. Oh, my God. It is. I said it at one point, I think, when me and John and Big Dave were doing our Hot Mic postgame show, which, again, plug, check it out. We're calling ourselves the Stretch Four with the Bulls Outcasts on the free Hot Mic app. Also going to be streaming on Big Dave and his buddy C-Dubs' Bow on Bulls YouTube channel. You can subscribe to that and live stream it there. It'll also be available on their website in podcast form. But I was saying last night on that postgame show, there's only one thing that I feel 100% concretely, confidently optimistic about right now when it comes to this Bulls organization and its future, and it is Patrick Williams. Without a doubt. And it's taken me 1 regular season game, 4 preseason games, some training camp, some footage on YouTube of his season at Florida State, and some 5-on-5 run with some NBA guys in the offseason. And any and all hesitation or doubt I had on draft night, when I still was fairly confident with, okay, I'm going to trust AK and Eversley here, all the hype about Patrick Williams and all the teams who were super obsessed with him and the teams were trying to trade up to get him and the Bulls, you know, did they reach? No, they didn't reach. He's absolutely worth the 4th overall pick. Yeah, I mean, I was a little bummed because, you know, I was keen on a couple of those guards. And after that brutal night we saw from Coby White, maybe some people were second guessing. Should have taken Halliburton, should have taken Hayes. But no, I have my concerns about Coby White. I think we know what Zach LaVine is, and what Zach LaVine is very good, but not good enough to be the star on a playoff deep run team. Lowry, who the hell knows what he's going to be? Huge year for him. Wendell, same, and last night did not look encouraging. Patrick Williams is the only thing that this fan base can look at right now and say, that's a stud in the making. Every element to his game, he was confident pulling up in transition, taking mid-range shots and knocking them down, which, hey, guess what? We're allowed to do again now that Jim's gone. Covering so much ground on the defensive end. Already has such a high defensive IQ. Getting into passing lanes, reading the defense. He had a great block when he was helping out from the weak side last night. He's a threat to score at the rim. He had 6 free throw attempts in his NBA debut. He's tall. He's long. He is so good in so many ways. He is the bright spot. This might be a rough season. And by might be, I mean probably will be a rough season. Depending on your expectations. My expectations were maybe the Bulls could fight for that play-in. At 10th. But you looked around the Eastern Conference this offseason, and I did not see the Bulls making some big leap with a new coach and roughly the same roster. Some Bulls fans who I saw making their predictions on like win total leading up to opening night, and I saw some Bulls fans saying they could flirt with 40 wins, and I was saying, are you sure you're talking about 40 out of 72 and not 82? Did you forget this is a 72-game season? because I think you're on drugs if you think this team's winning 40 games this year. I'll be pleasantly surprised if this Bulls team wins 30 games. I don't think it's impossible, but I'm seeing high 20s. There's not a lot of talent. There's not a lot of change in talent. We're hoping for internal improvement with a new player development staff and system, with a new coach, with a new bench of assistant coaches, all of whom I think we're going to like more than Jim and his cronies. But that doesn't mean that the Bulls are suddenly going to be a team that's like, oh yeah, Bulls, 7th seed, 8th seed. Yeah, they got this. We saw last night just how much work this organization has to do. But the one thing that we can all be optimistic about, excited about, enthused by, Patrick Williams. This kid will be a star. 19 years old, and he already looks like he absolutely belongs in the NBA. 19. There were moments when Kobe was a 19-year-old rookie where you thought, wow, this kid's got some potential. Wendell, his rookie year, 19-year-old rookie, couple of games where you thought, wow, this kid's got some potential. Patrick Williams, I don't even think to use the word kid. He's 19 in years lived. In every other sense of the word, that is a man who is ready for the NBA game. I can't wait. Cannot wait to watch his rookie season. Which, by the way, speaking of our new sponsors, betonline.ag, go take a gander and see what the line is on Patrick Williams winning Rookie of the Year. Because there's plenty of hype about Anthony Edwards and LaMelo. And LaMelo had some fancy passes in their preseason games. Did you also see he put up a blank in his points column in his NBA debut? LaMelo, 0-for. James Wiseman. Oh, it's going to be Obi Toppin. Obi Toppin, Rookie of the Year for sure, right? Maybe go put a bet on Patrick Williams winning Rookie of the Year. Dude had 16 in his NBA debut. Making it look easy. And somehow, the only person in the Bulls starting five to not commit a turnover when everyone was turning the ball over. This kid's special. See, there I did it again. I called him a kid. It's kind of the default when you're talking about someone who is 19 years of age. But boy, as gross as that game was, yes, nice game from Lowry, step in the right direction. Let's see if we can build off of that performance. But even way far beyond my optimism and feel-good vibes coming out of that game, if there were any, beyond Lowry's performance, Patrick Williams. I feel like I don't have to ask for anything for Christmas because we got Patrick Williams. He is the gift to Bulls fans. And we'll see where we go from here. That's it for today. I hope everybody out there is having a safe and happy holiday weekend. We've got a Bulls doubleheader on deck on the Saturday 26th and Sunday 27th. Pacers and then Warriors. That Pacers game could be a winnable one. That Warriors game, now that it's Steph and a bunch of nobodies again, and that's a real bummer for the league and bummer for us NBA fans, but that could be a winnable game. They got mopped by Brooklyn in their season opener. And we got plenty to talk about. The season is finally officially here, and we could not be more excited to talk about it with you, our fellow loyal Bulls fans. Die hard through and through. We've got a fresh season on deck. Might not be pretty. Might be some ugly ones like Atlanta. But at least we've got basketball to talk about again. So, thank you all so much for listening. We appreciate you as always, especially during the holiday season when you're thinking about what you are thankful for. Man, Jordan and I are certainly thankful for all of you guys who listen to this podcast and share in our passion for this team that we all love. Thanks again to our sponsors, Blue Nile, BetOnline.ag. Go make some bets. Bet on Pat Will winning Rookie of the Year. and order yourself some Built Bars to maybe slim down a little bit after the holidays. But for now, eat, drink, be merry. We've got another Bulls game on Saturday. From my partner Jordan Malley, Matt Peck saying, happy holidays, Bulls fans. We'll talk to you soon.
He had the eye pass going, and you'll see Hutch go right through. I don't have to pay the $1.50, baby. I'm going for free.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.
Thanks a lot.